Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Welcome to another episode of Right Here in Mass. Joining me today is Jessica Scully. Jessica is the founder and director of the Commonwealth Wine School in Cambridge. A lifelong educator, Jessica founded Commonwealth Wine School to help create an environment that fosters excellence in teaching for the wine community. Jessica, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ashley. It's lovely to be here.
Yes, it is lovely to have you. I know I gave a brief overview of what it is that you do here at the Commonwealth Wine School, but I'd love if you could just go a little bit further into that, what it is and how you got started with it all.
Oh, absolutely. So I'm thrilled to be here, and I'm really excited to tell you more about our school, which really is a community of learners. Even though we're called Commonwealth Wine School, we actually teach about all sorts of beverages. We teach, obviously, about wine and beer and sake and spirits and cider and even tea and non-alcoholic beverages. So we really began a few years ago, ironically, right in the midst of COVID. We really did begin as a place for people to come together to learn more about wine and other alcoholic beverages, now non-alcoholic beverages as well, and to really foster a community of people who wanted to know more about this stuff, who wanted to meet each other, professionals who wanted to further their careers, or people who wanted to change their careers, or even just enthusiasts who wanted, you know, to know more about what was in their glass. And so, as you said, I had been a teacher for a long time. I did not start in the wine industry. I was actually a math teacher. I was an artist, but I had always been fascinated by this stuff. I enjoyed it, obviously, as so many of us do. I sort of liked what I was drinking, but didn't know what I was drinking, and really did embark on my own wine education shortly after my daughter was born. So a while ago now, she's 15. And I kind of went down the rabbit hole. I took a program. Initially, I started in Pittsburgh, where I was living. We had a 7-year hiatus between Boston living spots in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I started there with a program called WSET, which is the Wine and Spirit Education Trust. It's a really interesting program. It's probably the most widely regarded alcoholic beverage program in the world, also internationally renowned, apart from, say, a university enology degree or something like that, if somebody is going to go really to learn about how to make wine or how to grow grapes. It's not that kind of program. It's a program that really teaches people about the world of wine, really understanding different grape varieties, where these wines are grown, what the culture is like, what the history is like, what the science is like, and what the styles of wine are like. And so if you're somebody who's kind of curious about many different things in the world, from culture to food and wine, to travel, to, you know, agriculture and chemistry, it kind of checks all of those boxes, which it did for me. And I went down the rabbit hole. As I said, I went through their entire program, the first couple of levels, which are shorter courses, I did in Pittsburgh. And then when I really wanted to know more, there was a wine educator here in Boston, whose name is Adam Chase. And he had Grape Experience Wine School, which was the WSET program provider in the area. And I was able to take an online level 3 class with him, which is more involved, and then fly back to Boston from Pittsburgh for the exam. From that point on, I went even further. Their highest level is a 2-year program. It took me 3 years. I won't lie, because there were a lot of other family things going on in my life that I had to arrange some courses, take some sometimes and not other times. And I really did learn a lot about the world of wine before I started teaching about it. When I moved back to Boston in 2015, I started teaching for Adam's school, which was Grape Experience Wine and Spirit School in Boston. A lot of us were teaching at the Boston Center for Adult Education. I don't know if you remember that. And it collapsed in 2018, and we lost that venue. There were many wonderful educators, Erica Fry, Adam Chase, Adam Centamore. I say all of these names, Joanne Ross, I could go on, because we were all teaching over there. We all love teaching about wine and spirit. Sake, Marina Giordano is another person. And when we no longer had a place to teach, we started to talk. Where could we teach? We were teaching at different restaurants, maybe here or there. WSET classes were sometimes being held at a hotel, like conference room or at City Winery. They just weren't great places for people to come together again and again and again. So I started to talk to the others, to Erica, to Adam, to the other Adam, to Joanne. And I said, listen, what if we had our own school? What if we had a place where people could come, people could gather, we could hold trade events, and it could really be a community? I said, but I don't want to do it myself. And this is clear. And nor could I ever do it myself. Not only did I not want to be working every single evening, I just don't think the Jessica Scully Show is at all interesting to anybody. Whereas we have all of these wonderful resources, you know, here in our state. So we went ahead and did it. We signed the lease just before COVID crashed at our wonderful space in Harvard Square. And it was great because in a lot of ways, it allowed us to open both slowly and cautiously, as everyone was doing, and make mistakes maybe without so many people noticing, which I was very grateful for, but also to realize the power of online education. And it really allowed us to pivot there very quickly and try to figure out not just how to do that well and keep people engaged and reach out to people and let people know about it, but really present polished courses that would not only be interesting and fun and create a community, but where people could get, you know, certification if they wanted it, could reconnect if they wanted it, you know, to could go back and see their work, read materials, watch videos, you know, all of that if they wanted it. And so in many ways, that sort of start really was a gift for us. We've changed, we've grown a lot over the last 4 years. We are still a tremendous group of knowledgeable educators in all sorts of different fields. We've brought on many more people, and I'm so grateful that they're there because they just bring so much to the table. So every night at the school in Cambridge, there's somebody different teaching, or a couple different people teaching about different topics. And some of those are long courses of study. Some of those are just, sometimes we call them our date night classes, you know, just fun classes that people go to. Yeah, and then we're also teaching online. We have all of our courses as well as a number of others that we're rolling out. So,
yeah. Oh my goodness. You have had so much going on in the past few years, and it's exciting to hear about kind of taking that silver lining. Like, you found the silver lining when the center had closed down and it gave you the opportunity to now open up Commonwealth Wine School and really be able to build something great out of it. Absolutely. And so I'd love to dive a little bit more into what that process was like of building the wine school. I know that you had brought all these colleagues and friends together to be able to join forces ultimately and really combine all your expertise. But what was that like of just simply getting started with this? I can imagine it was probably dually exciting, but also overwhelming.
I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I think starting a business on the one hand takes a great amount of optimism, you know, and excitement and enthusiasm, like, wow, we could build something completely new. And on the other hand, it's completely terrifying, right? Because for me, especially, there's always this sense of, well, what if we can't? You know, what if we don't? What if this ends up being a tremendous investment and then goes nowhere? Which is, of course, the risk every single business owner takes all the time. In right. some ways, daily, they're taking that risk. But I think it is the optimism and the creativity that, you know, outweighs any negative thoughts that you have. I'm somebody who comes from a pretty artistic background. I've always liked making stuff. You know, I used to have a little studio where we sold stuff that I would make. And I think there's something in that. I was never really attached to the stuff in the end, but there's something in that just creative process of, okay, I'm starting with an idea. I'm starting with a thought. And then can I bring it to fruition? And of course, with art, at least in my case, I never felt like I completely brought my idea to fruition. It never, whatever turned out in front of me was never exactly what I had in my mind, even as I was going through the process. A business is the same thing. You know, it's constantly changing. It's constantly evolving, which is, for me, really exciting and interesting. That's why it stays interesting. You're constantly creating this new thing. And so even though I think we have a wonderful school where people come and have a great time and learn a lot, we're always thinking, and as I said, we're a team. It's not just me. We're always thinking about, okay, what makes us better? What makes us different? What makes us really interesting for people to come to, you know, here in Cambridge, here in Massachusetts or in New England, but also online, maybe in San Francisco, maybe in Texas, maybe in British Columbia or Puerto Rico. You know, these are places where we have students. What makes what we're offering more exciting and interesting for them? How are we helping them succeed? How are we, if we want them to be able to change their careers if they want, how do we help them not just learn the material, but network and get to know people in the industry? And that's something I'm very passionate about. You know, I don't want to be a cheap certificate program where people come and, you know, get something to put next to their name. That's great. And if some people want it, great. But I would really love to foster a network of people from all different backgrounds who can change their lives if they want to. And that's something I was able to do. And, you know, I continue to do. And I find that to be exciting. Is it daunting? Sure. It's incredibly daunting. And I would say it's a work in progress, but it's exciting.
Absolutely. And I also think it's fascinating that you don't just focus on wine, you look at other beverages as well, like you mentioned, beer, spirits, cider, tea, so on and so forth. And so I'm curious, with that, did you originally launch providing education on all those beverages, or did it eventually evolve based on what people were coming to you, kind of looking to learn more about and wanting to discover?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. The answer is, yes, we started with a dabble, and now we've really developed all of the programs. So we started as a school where, as I said, I talked to a number of different people, including Adam Chase, who had the WSET school. And I said, would you have your classes here at the school? And so then this became just, you know, if Kim Simone or Erica Fry or Adam Chase had ideas for classes, we would say, great, they'd hold them at their school. Adam agreed that he would have the WSET classes at the school, but it was still going to be his WSET school hosted at the school. Well, COVID changed all of that, right? I mean, we went online. There was no school for the first few months for those classes to be held because everybody was in lockdown. And so it really was 2021. It was the fall of 2021. So we had already, you know, made it a whole year plus a little bit, where we consolidated the WSET programming. Adam and I merged our schools. So the WSET program provider became Commonwealth Wine School. He's still very involved in the program. And we built up that program. We hired a wonderful administrator and educator. I mean, that almost doesn't describe him, Tim Powers, who's our student services manager for the WSET programming. And we really developed that whole program. So even though Adam Chase was offering sake and spirits as part of WSET, we've been able to really grow that, to grow our students, to have more teachers. Marina Giordano, who's actually, she's a local news producer, is also a sake expert. And actually, she's one of the world's most renowned sake experts, and she teaches our sake program. Tim Powers has become, we have a number of great spirits instructors, but Tim Powers has really become our lead spirits instructor. He's just an incredible content expert. He's also one of the world's first certified palmiers, which is somebody who knows a whole lot about cider, which is an apple-based or pear-based product. And of course, we've expanded and developed our wine programming. That said, on top of our WSET certification classes, we also still have other instructors who develop their own fun programming that are doing just really interesting things, depending on who they are. We have one wonderful teacher, Christina Catch. She's also a runner. She's really into all things Disney World. And she hosts a lot of really fun classes that have to do with sports and wine, or Disney and wine, or Harry Potter and wine. So, you know, they're not just these hardcore programs. Adam Centimore, who's an instructor of ours, is really a cheese guru and a gourmet in general. And he hosts a lot of pairing classes and really teaching people about cheese and teaching people about chocolate and how well they go with different wines or spirits. So those are the sort of things that we're up to. And I would say constantly evolving and constantly changing, with WSET, of course, being our core programming. And so I know I'm long-winded, so feel free to
No, it's great everything you're sharing.
But one thing I was going to say is, One area that we've evolved that of course didn't exist at the beginning when we first opened is we've really tried to develop a community of the trade within the Boston area, but also, you know, within the New England area. And we host a lot of trade tastings for wine regions all over the world, maybe spirits producers, sake producers, who either are trying to get the word out more in the rest of the world about the products they're creating, or just also having us run certification programs depending on their own national or regional, maybe wine government structure. So apart from WSET certifications, we've launched as one of the first schools to launch the Champagne Specialist course, which is something that was created by the Champagne Comité, which is the overarching government body for champagne wine producers. And they've created their own course that they want, you know, people to have for how they want people to learn about champagne. And they picked Commonwealth Wine School as one of the two schools in the country to start running the program. So we do that. We're piloting another program for the Grande Pajos de España, which are these great Spanish wine estates from around Spain. And we're launching that this fall, including a tour to many of those estates later in the spring. We work with the Wine Scholar Guild, which is a wonderful course producer and provider. They focus primarily on France, Italy, and Spain, though they're about to launch a German program as well. And we run their courses so that people can really geek out about the wines from those countries. And I have to say, those are countries that people love to visit too. And so there's a lot of overlap.
Absolutely. And I think it's really wonderful to hear about everything that you've been up to with Commonwealth Wine School and everything that's coming this fall and beyond. And so it makes me wonder, how do you balance it all with so many exciting things being planned and launching and everything? How do you find that you're able to juggle it without feeling that sense of overwhelm or feeling really stressed out about it?
Thanks for the vote of confidence. I would say it's a balancing act daily, you know, with slower periods during the year, and that I would say we're able to catch our breath maybe a little bit more. I'm not voting for those, by the way. I mean, I'm happy to be busy absolutely all the time. But given where we are, we're right in Harvard Square. We're almost necessarily in some ways on an academic schedule. And so we will find that May and June especially start to allow us to slow down a little bit with some of our, especially our regular coursework, like the WSET, you know, week after week wine courses. And we're able to refocus, step back. We are able to spend part of the summer thinking, okay, how can we improve our online programming? Do these tours that we're trying to organize, do they overlap well with the coursework that we're doing? Do we, you know, are we bringing in enough people who are enthusiastic and interested for these courses and for these tours? You know, is there something that we need to change and recalibrate? I can't promise you that I don't feel overwhelmed. I do feel like Between the WSET, the other course offerings, satellites around the country, because we also do offer other in-person classes around the country, and our online programming and our wine tours, I'm not going to pretend that I wake up every day and go through my to-do list and check off every single item on my to-do list, nor could I say that Kim Simone, our manager, or Tim Powers, our student service manager, could do that either. We have running lists of everything we're trying to balance all of the time. But as I said, it's a creative process. And so even though the work isn't finished, I think ever, there's never a day where it feels like, okay, the work is finished. It's exciting. It's interesting. Yeah. You know, I also think we're very lucky, and I hope I speak for everybody at the school too. At least I feel very lucky when I think about people who have incredibly repetitive jobs. For me, that would drive me bananas. And I appreciate that many people do, and that many people have no choice in that matter. But I feel very grateful for the idea that, you know, some days I'm concentrating on graphic design because I'm working on making our website and our content and our marketing materials look good. And some days I'm focusing on writing because either I'm answering interview questions or we're writing blog posts or we're just sending out emails. And sometimes I'm focusing on teaching, you know, and really being a content expert and thinking, you know, trying to predict what questions might my students have? What are they hearing for the first time, you know, that for me might feel really obvious that for them may take many weeks to internalize? You know, how do I say that differently? How do I explain it better? I think all of our teachers ask ourselves that question. And then sometimes it's just a matter of, gee, coming into the school and feeling like, oh my gosh, that corner is a total mess, and go into a cleaning frenzy, you know? And so you really do, I think, and I'm sure all small business owners do this, but you wear many hats and it's tiring, it's exhausting, it's overwhelming, but it's incredibly creative and fun and interesting also.
Yes, I think you summarized that perfectly. And with all of the programs that you're offering, it sounds like you have a wide array of types of students. So it sounds like you might have people who are just curious about all these different beverages, to people who have their whole career focused on that. So I'd love if you could kind of break down who those people are and why they might come to Commonwealth Wine School.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And for me anyway, in starting the school, that's very intentional, right?
Yeah.
I think most of us come to the world of alcohol not knowing too much, right? Unless you're born into a winemaking family or a spirits family, this is not something that, say, comes naturally to you or that you know much about. And I think most people, when they're starting to get interested in this sort of thing, and I don't mean like in college, go to a party and, you know, get completely drunk. That's not what I'm talking about, but sort of taste something and think, what is that? Where does it come from? Why do I like it? You know, a lot of those people come to us, but are nervous about coming to us at the same time, right? Because they might look at our WSET programming and say, well, I don't want to know that. You know, I don't need a certificate. I don't need to, you know, but a lot of those people love to come to our introduction to wine class, because that sort of necessarily tells you, you don't have to know anything about wine, you know, or an introduction to spirits class. You don't have to know anything about spirits. You could just come for an hour and a half, learn some things, you know, learn how to smell, learn how to taste a little bit differently, maybe learn about the components or maybe where these things are from, and go home with no pressure whatsoever. I think that's really important. And those are, I would say, many of our students, especially who first start out with us. There's another component too, which is that, especially for our in-person classes, it's really important to set up an environment where everyone feels welcome. You know, I think being in Harvard Square, which I adore, it's a funky, weird place, but it is set in the heart of the most, you know, elite university in the world, perhaps. I think that can be intimidating. And I think if you're not from the Cambridge neighborhood, you know, neighborhoods, if you're maybe a person of color, maybe you're a woman and this field has always seemed like an old white guy's kind of field, it could be intimidating. And I want people to feel like everyone is welcome. Everyone is welcome to bring their friends. Everyone is welcome to ask all the questions that they want, even if, you know, they seem obvious, they're not, you know, and they're not to anybody in the room. That's been really important to me. So it's necessary, I think, for us to foster an environment where all sorts of new people to this world can come in and feel comfortable and safe and happy and want to come back. Then there's, of course, as you said, the people who are doing this for their career. Those people come on many different, you know, levels and backgrounds also. You know, some people are new servers in a restaurant. You know, maybe they're 21 years old and are just getting started in a restaurant and they need to learn more about their wine list or their beer list or something like that. Whereas some people maybe have already been working in the industry for a while, maybe they're selling, you know, maybe they're working for distributors, maybe they're at a retail environment, maybe they have a little more background, but also a lot of holes. And I think that's where we do try to meet people with our programming, especially our WSET programming, because it really does start from the basics, you don't know anything about wine, to, I would say, the second level, which is still a broad introductory class. Like if you know that Chardonnay is white and Cabernet Sauvignon is red, that's a great place to start, to then some really more serious study, which also, you know, is in some ways is great for our area, because a lot of these courses, and I don't mean to make them sound scary, but they're quite challenging, actually, you know, especially WSET level 3 courses and the diploma courses. We have a lot of grad students, say, come from Harvard Business School or MIT Sloan Business School. We have a lot of business school students who feel that in a lot of ways, and I believe them, wine is very much part of their education, their business education. And I think they're shocked by how much time you could really invest in learning about these parts of the world and the grapes and how to grow them and the diseases that they may have and how you might solve certain issues in the winery or where certain flavors come from and how challenging the exams are. This is a British program. It's actually a British trade school. And so each of the levels corresponds to a number of job positions that you could get in the UK. And they're not easy. You know, they really do take dedication. And so that's also pretty great in our area because we have a lot of, well, you know, for lack of a better term, nerds who just love to geek out about certain things, you know, and wine is one of those things. And so is spirits and beer and sake. So,
yeah. So it sounds like from what you've shared that the whole mindset that Commonwealth Wine School has with any student and really just meeting them where they are. So wherever Absolutely. They are in their education, just being able to meet them where they are.
Absolutely. I would say the only thing we're limited to is that in our state, you have to be 21 years old. You know, if we were in France, that would not be the case. But yeah, meeting you where you are, finding something that works for you, that's fun for you, because I mean, let's face it, we're not a medical school. We're not saving anyone's life, you know. At the end of the day, maybe we're saving someone's evening, you know. But we're having a lot of fun because this is, it's really fun stuff. It's interesting. And it speaks to, you know, the part of our lives that allow us to relax, that allow us to socialize, that allow us to fall in love sometimes, you know, that allow us to travel in many ways. I mean, this is the part of our life we'd like to nurture, and that's great fun, you know?
Absolutely. For anyone who's looking to get into the beverage industry, whether, like you mentioned, they're a server or there's some type of expert or professional in it, like what advice would you have to give to them for just really getting started?
Yeah, I would say the first thing is, I mean, of course, come to us. That's the first thing you should do. And I'm happy to give a plug for all the website information, everything. But I mean, the first thing you could do is, I would say, don't feel intimidated. I think a lot of people feel that wine, especially, right, it has a very, well, for lack of a better term, snooty aura about it, you know, as though you have to know everything about all of the Bordeaux vintages in order to purchase an interesting wine for your client at a restaurant or something like that. That's just not true. And if you're a server, it's not true that you need to start off knowing everything. It's really great to ask questions, you know, ask questions of people who have been there a little bit longer of you. Find mentors that you feel comfortable with. Find a cohort of people even that you're going to study with. That's not always easy. That's not always the case, but we're also here to connect people with each other so that you don't have to learn this stuff alone. But I would say the most important thing is don't let anyone make you feel intimidated about this stuff. There's a lot of snobby, I guess is the word I should use, not snotty. There's a lot of snobby history to the world of wine and spirits, and it's unnecessary. You know, this is an agricultural product that's also a form of art sometimes, you know, and it's incredibly manageable in terms of learning about it. And it's fun to learn about it, and it's delicious to learn about it. So don't feel intimidated. The internet, of course, is a great resource for people who want to especially start off maybe by themselves. If you're in a restaurant, hopefully you've got a restaurant staff manager who is pretty good at training you. And if not, maybe they'll help support your education. We work with a number of different restaurants and train their staffs or provide discounts for the restaurant in particular, if they have a certain number of people. I'm working really hard to get, I shouldn't even say this out loud yet because it's not ready, but I'm working really hard to establish a scholarship program so that people from all different backgrounds who want to get going in this industry are able to. But the first thing I would say is don't be intimidated. Start browsing the internet. There's a lot of information, of course, on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel too, where you could learn information for free. But when you want to start learning for serious, you should definitely come to us. You should definitely take some of our programming. Start with the beginnings of WSET level 1 or level 2. Call us. You can send us an email, info@commonwealthwineschool.com, and we'll start you off where you want to go. The other thing you could do is just come to us some Friday or Saturday night. Have fun for an hour and a half and see if it's something that you like to do.
Yeah, that's great advice. And it also reminds me of advice that I'm sure you would share and have the same mindset of the work that you do for the Harvard Square Business Association. Knowing that you are the board president, I feel like a lot of the work that you do with Commonwealth Wine School of just being able to build a community and provide support likely also translates into that organization as well. So I'd love to give you the opportunity to talk more about it and share what you're doing and also talk about why people should get involved in local business organizations like that one.
Thank you for bringing it up, because Harvard Square is, of course, where my business is. It's also pretty much my neighborhood where I live. And all neighborhoods are formed from the people who are there, right? In the case of Harvard Square, it's the students, it's the people who have businesses, it's the people who live there, it's the people who come as tourists. You know, it's such a varied, varied population. And luckily for us in Cambridge and at Harvard Square, it's such an international and interesting and educated population as well. And the businesses that are there, I would say, very much represent the population, or I'd like to think that they do. And I think the great thing about a business association, and in particular Harvard Square Business Association, which, you know, I'm happy to talk about at length, but it's such an extraordinary organization in the enormity of what it does. You know, it seems like a business association might just be there to represent the businesses and their interests. And I would say if people join a chamber of commerce or something like that, I think that's what they think they're getting into. Harvard Square Business Association, I think, very much represents the interests of all of the people in the square. And all of the people in the square, of course, include business owners, property owners, employees of businesses, the students, the faculty, the staff at the university, hospitality and the hotels, the unhoused population of the square. There's so much to the place. There are so many issues that involve all of those people. I think the HSBA, and Denise Gilson's the executive director, she does such an amazing job of building real human connections between people at the city who, and we're so lucky in Cambridge. I mean, the people in the city are working so hard to make Cambridge a better place. The law enforcement who are there also working so hard in the square, property owners, business owners, people who live there, people who are coming through there, to build those connections so that the square is the most vibrant, interesting, fun place they could be at all hours of the day, for whatever it is they're there for, whether or not they're there for a conference at the Kennedy School, you know, talking about the ramifications of some program on the entire world, or whether or not they're there for Honkfest and Oktoberfest and you know, bringing people in with great music and great food, or just last month there was the Salsa Squared, which was a salsa dancing evening right in the middle of the square, or theater that's going on, comedy that's going on. There are so many different events happening daily in the square, and the HSBA is fully involved in all of them. Honestly, for such a small staff, and I'm not on the staff, I'm here as the number one champion, honestly, of the amazing staff who does all of the work. With such a small staff, what they're able to accomplish in Harvard Square to bring the best of it to the entire world just blows my mind every day and makes me thank my lucky stars that I'm able to be there.
Oh, I love that. And it's very clear that you feel very passionate about everything involving Harvard Square and Cambridge and all of the communities and types of individuals that are a part of it.
Truly. I truly do. Like I said, it's home for me, and I'm very, very invested in my home, and I care about it.
Yeah, that's amazing. As we get closer to the end of this episode, one of my favorite questions to ask our guests is what their favorite local businesses are to support. And so I'd love to hear what yours would be. And I imagine there are many, knowing that you're the board president of the HSBA.
Well, just wait, because I'm about to give you a whole wonderful list that couldn't possibly be comprehensive, right, in Harvard Square and near Harvard Square. Well, we could start with a couple of fabulous restaurants. You know, we have Harvest right in Harvard Square, which has been there for years, but the quality of the food and quite honestly, the wine list is second to none. And I love to bring people from all over the world, you know, winemakers who might come visit our school, and take them there and show off what we have here. Of course, there's Toscano, there's Alden and Harlow, such delicious restaurants. There's the Hourly, which is right next door to our school, the Hourly Oyster House, which has such fun food and fun wines, and it's great to sit outside. There's also some great shopping in the square, from Motto, which has lovely, you know, clothes, to Tess, to Mint Julep, you know, great local businesses selling, you know, wonderful things to buy. There's fantastic bookstores, of course, you know, the Harvard Bookstore, which I love. I'm probably there with my daughter, I don't know, at least every week. It feels like we're going in there all the time. There's just so many wonderful things to do and ways to entertain right there in Harvard Square. And I hate that I, you know, have certainly left some out, because gee, if you want pizza or you want fine dining or you want a burger, you know, there you are, right in Harvard Square.
Amazing. Jessica, this has been such a wonderful episode, and I've really appreciated having the opportunity to have you come on the show. And now I would love to give you the opportunity to share with our listeners where they can find you and Commonwealth Wine School online in case they'd like to connect further.
Thank you so much, Ashley. It really has been a tremendous pleasure, and thanks for having me on. Yes, please find us at Commonwealth Wine School. If you'd like to just walk in, we're in the building that's called The Garage at 81 Mount Auburn Street, or the corner of Dunster Street. And you could just walk right in. We're on the first floor. But please also find us online, where you'll find our full calendar, everything that's going on night to night in the square, but also online and at satellites quite honestly, around the country, www.commonwealthwineschool.com. You can email us info@commonwealthwineschool.com. We check our email constantly. We will get right back to you, or feel free to give us a call, give us a buzz. Everything is on our website.
Perfect. And I will link to those places in the show notes that where listeners can click through and connect with you from there. But thank you so much again for coming on today's show.
Thank you so much, Ashley. Have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.